him, but if fail, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. The Baal prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, but let them choose 1 bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your God. I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken, for that's fair enough. Do not read the remainder of the chapter. We've taken up this series of studies on Elijah the prophet. This morning is the 9th message, and we'll be on the same chapter tonight, the concluding message. All of you who've been coming to these services realize the background of this scene on Mount Carmel. All that we've been taking up is in preparation for this confrontation, this showdown on Mount Carmel between the God of Baal and the living and the true God. It was Elijah who gave instructions to King Ahab, and of course Ahab was wanting to kill Elijah, but he just couldn't, because God was with Elijah. And Elijah told Ahab to gather all the people of Israel to the Mount Carmel, and also instructed him to have present the 450 prophets of Baal. And he says, we'll have a showdown and see whose God is the true God. This Mount Carmel is a wonderful mountain. If you look up a Bible dictionary, you read something about it. It's about 12 miles long. And it goes from the Vale of Escalon toward the Mediterranean, about 1,600 feet above sea level. And it was on this mount, and it's a beautiful sight. If you get up, get a book, and look at the picture, you can see how it would be an ideal setting for such a showdown as we have. And all the people of Israel gathered there. Now there must have been a tremendous crowd. I don't know what they did for public address system in those days. Why, today we've got to have a public address system in a building, almost regardless of its size. But in that day, there must have been at least about 1 billion people gathered out before Elijah. Now, how did he reach them? We don't know. Whether God gave him a voice like a bell or a voice like thunder, we just don't know. But they heard, because they responded when he told them what he was going to do. When you stop to think of this tremendous crowd and how Ahab was there, they made way for the king to come in with his chariots and his guards and all his retinue, and here 450 priests of Baal dressed in their gorgeous robes and the symbol of the sun god on their forehead, and they come in and take their place. Then I see a lonely figure standing there, Elijah. That sinewy character with flowing hair, with flashing high eyes, and compressed lips, as he walks with the time, 450 prophets of Baal. And they watch him as a tiger watches its prey. In other words, they've got you, You have been responsible for this drought for 3.5 years without rain. And you dare challenge us? You're 450, and you're a lone character. Well, this is the showdown that Elijah was waiting for. One man against the nation. And this is exactly what Elijah wanted. A public showdown as to Baalism or the worship of the true God, Jehovah. You notice there are 3 classes. First of all, you have Elijah standing there in all his dignity, Here you have 450 prophets of Baal in their defiance and conceit and contempt for the true God. They're not before them the nation of Israel. Here you have three classes. You notice one against 450. In other words, the religion of Baal seems to be more popular than it was. Today, if you would look out over the religious world, the religion of Baal, as we're going to represent it, as in that day, so in this day, it's a religion of men. A religion of doing the best you can. A religion with many idols and things that replace God and Christ. Let me say then, the religion of Baal is popular. But the true message from God, Christianity, is not popular. I want to say, if you're going to be governed in your decision or in this matter by the road the majority are currently going on and walking on, you're going to the lost. A lot of people today fall for majority. They fall for the crowd. The broad way that leadeth to destruction instead of the narrow way that leadeth unto life. And they might have thought this is something unequal. How could one man be right? And all these learned and educated gentlemen with all their robes, how could they be wrong? Yes, that's the language today. How could it be possible that here and there you're going to find one man standing out crying as a voice in the wilderness? Why, for that one man there'll be 100 or more others filling pulpits with all their education. And could it be possible that he's right and they're wrong? Well, friend, all I got to say is, the gospel and those who preach it and seek to practice it are not popular. The popular thing today is the religion of man, or what man believes, what man does. Thinking he thereby he's going to get the head. Now the Bible makes this very plain and has samples of it. When in the antediluvian day, and God saw the wicked world, and he told Noah to build an ark, how many were saved? Eight. And you mean to say all those other people? Yes, that's what the Bible says. Wherein eight souls were saved, you read in Hebrews chapter 8. There stood lonely Noah with 7 members of his family, filling that ark and for 120 years a preacher of righteousness. Telling the people they were sinners, they were ungodly, that judgment was coming upon the earth. The only way to escape that coming judgment is getting this up. Oh, Noah, we believe you're sincere. We believe you're a little extreme. We believe you're a little fanatic. But who was right? Noah and the majority. I see Sodom and Gomorrah. God is going to destroy the cities of the plain. He sends word to Lot to get out of it. He and his family. Because God is going to rain hell upon Sodom and Gomorrah, fire out of hell. And Lot tells his wife and his 2 daughters, the others wouldn't listen, but he got these 3 to join him. Believe Sodom. But old Lot's wife, she didn't want to go. Her heart was back in the city. Her friends were there. Other things that she enjoyed were back in Sodom. And even the angels had to take her hand to try and drag her out. She was told that anyone that looks back will become the pillar of Sodom. In spite of the angels' kindness and the warning she received, she looked back one last look, and she became a pillar of salt. we receive thousands of cakes.
That's what the Bible says. Christ had only 500 real followers. You understand in the scripture? You know he fed 5,000, he fed 4,000, but that was the crowd that came to see his miracles and his healing.
But according to 1 Corinthians 15, 507, one time, following the Lord Jesus Christ.
And the word of God bears it out in Matthew chapter 7, stages the gate, the narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth, wide is the gate, and wide is the way that leadeth unto death. Many there be that win there.
Many on the wall, God go leading and going to destruction. Few on the narrow way, leading unto life. Christ said, fear not, little flock. He didn't say, fear not, vast child. Fear not, little flock.
But your father's with pleasure to give you the kingdom.
450 prophets were saved.
And one lone man. I have seen an unequal situation. People say, oh, I'd like to go along with that child. That's your thing. Well, I won't. That's the wide way, the broad way that leads to destruction. You follow the public opinion and you will be there.
Think of the spies from Canaan. Here Joshua sent 12 men in to spy out the land of Canaan. And as they went in, they looked over the land and then they came back to report to Joshua. And old Kenan said, Joshua, the land is all that God said it would be. Why, it's a wonderful land, flowing with milk and honey. But you know, Joshua, the walls of those cities, why they're walled up the hill. And the men we saw as giants, we were the grasshoppers in their sight. Joshua spoke, it will mean disaster. It will be a tragedy if we go. We can do it. Two men stood out against the 10 Joshua and Caleb. There was no regard of what we them. And two men stood out against Moses. And they said, yes, you're the villain. It's true what these brethren say, it's a wonderful land. All that they said is true. Yes. Fruits and vegetables in abundance on every hand, and there are those cities, walls of heaven for defense. And it's true the men are giants, it's true they're the grasshoppers in this. But, says Joshua Hill, we can go in, we can take it, for God is with us. And we've got God, we have victory. Now the nation of Israel on that occasion believed who? The 10 or the 2? They believe the 10. And their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And not till 38 years later did they get back to the place that brought them over to the land of Canaan. 38 years afterwards, and the majority of those who took sides with the 10, their bodies perished in the wilderness. Their children went in to the promised land. And 38 years after that experience. Showing how dangerous it is to follow, dangerous to follow the mature. Following the path. After Elijah on this occasion made his speech, he said, how long taught ye the three to him? As he looked out upon those people, how long, he said, are you going to taught the three to him? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. The chips are down. And you notice what happened. The people answered not a word. Their mouth was shut. I don't mean to say it in a sarcastic way. But then, God's got to shut your mouth. Before you'll ever get saved. People are going to talk their way into hell. They won't stop and be silent long enough to let God speak.
I know when I was home, by the door, my dad was young to tell their parents, they will shut you up. I'd have said it won't. But I'm not saying it in that way. I'm saying this lovingly. You'll never be saved until you get your notes. The law was given according to Romans 5 and 17 and 19. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped, and all the prayer becomes simply before law. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped, all the world becomes simply before law. Man at the bar, he may think he's right. He may think he has witnesses, evidence. But all the time he's talking and arguing and trying to defend himself, he's getting nowhere. Within his heart, he's guilty. And only when he says to the judge, Your Honor, I'm guilty. I have nothing to say about him before. I'm convinced I'm guilty. If the judge does sentence him instead of acquitting him, it'll be a more lenient sentence. There can be no sense passed until a man has been proven guilty. And you're guilty before God this morning, unless you've been born again, driven by the Holy Spirit of God. This is the picture. The old Job said, Behold, I'm vile after 38 chapters, where he's been arguing with his friends, three of them, and then a fourth comes along. Then he argues with God for a while. Finally he says, Who is this? The darkness answers, Words without knowledge. God begins to speak to Job. And God portrays before Job God's mighty power, God's wisdom and creation. And by the time God gets near, Job says, Behold, I'm vile, I hold on the hand upon my mouth. And it Job finally found the only thing he could do in the presence of God was shut up and let God speak. And that the wisest thing you can do, Job, is say before God, I'm lost. I'm a fool sinner. I was talking to one man one time, 75 years of age. And he kept talking. I should listen to him. He said, I'm not guilty. No, he said, I don't think I'm guilty. I don't think I'm going to hell. I said, if God says you're guilty and going to hell, will you believe that? Oh, yeah, he said, if God says it, I believe it, whether I feel it or not. All right, I said, I should. By the time I got through reading that passage in Romans 3, ending of verse 19, where God gives the indictment again to you against the human race, ending with that verse 19, the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. I said, Are you guilty? He says, I am. And I said, The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Are you going to hell? He said, According to the Bible, I am. Well, I said, Who are you going to be? God's word or yourself? Well, he says, I'll have to take God's word. And you know that fellow got saved. He was willing to take God's word instead of his own idea. That would be very good. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord has found thousands of times in your life. You know, sometimes hesitating, halting if necessary, if there's a similarity between the things to be true. If I had two gems up here, worth in the neighborhood of $100,000 a piece. I owed them and was liberal enough to say, Friend, I'll give you either one of the two. I have you. I could understand you picking up this gem and looking it over, putting it back, picking up this one, examining it, putting it down, and opening your chin, taking time, maybe a half an hour before you made the decision. I could understand. But if I took away that one gem, put aside for the chunk of Georgia mud in a split, and I said, you can have your choice. If you hesitated 1 minute, you need to go to ministry.
There's no comparison. No need for sympathy. Pardon.
Why, you can see there's no comparison. And friends, how dare you want an insult to high heaven if you put this girl on the same level with the Son of God?
If you put hell on the same plane as God's law, man's righteousness and filthy rags on the same platform as the righteousness of God and Jesus Christ. Your works with the one work of Jesus Christ, and you head, you heart, not knowing which.
It's a wonder God gives you more than one chance to choose. What an insult. Here stands the Son of God in all his dignity and power. Here stands the poor world, rooting up all its sin and shame and debauchery, going to endless pain. You say it all, it's the truth. For this man Elijah says, how long have you agreed with him? You want the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or do you want the God of Baal, the God of the rich ruler? How long have you halted the pain to a thing? The watershed of the North American continent, way up in northern Canada, is a little river, up out of a spring, wonderful water, and it flows south for quite a distance, and then it's joined by other streams and little rivulets. Till it comes to the edge of a precipice, and it falls over that precipice as it flows south, and right beneath that waterfall, there's a cone-shaped rock. And if the water falls on the east side, it goes down and joins a larger river, and then a larger net is out into the stormy Atlantic. If it falls on the western side, it bounds one to another river, eventually the Fraser out into the calm. And over that point, there's a rustic ark with caves, and it says it was great with us. That water can no longer go south, it must go east further. Some people are traveling along, halting, not knowing just what to do. Friend, this morning's meeting may be the great divide for you. Where you'll halt no longer, you'll make a choice, one way or the other. The great divide. Now how solemn that is. Lot's wife, when she came to that place, and she looked up, and became a pillar of salt. Over that spot you would have these words written, the great divide. And you can think also of others who made a similar decision. Here's Orpha and Ruth. Orpha, he stands there. Ruth, beside him, and Naomi, the mother-in-law. And the mother-in-law says, you girls go back. I've lost my husband, you've lost your husband. But Ruth says, entreat me not to leave me. Don't fall to depart from me. For where thou dwellest, I will dwell. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people will be my people, thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there shall I be buried. Ah, she made the right choice. But the other sisters, she kissed her mother-in-law, and she went back with her God. And over that spot, the great one made the right choice, Ruth, and is in heaven today and found herself in the very line that led to Christ. The author, she went to hell, the great divine. The Lord Jesus stood before Pilate. There's Barabbas. Pilate says, whither of the chain will I release unto you, Jesus, or Barabbas? Pilate don't mean to tell me that you don't know the difference between these two men. You're more knowledgeable than that. What are you going to do? Under pressure from the pigs and the cows, he delivered Jesus to be crucified. Let God Spirit liberate all us over your throne of judgment seat, the great divine, the great divine. You may belong to Jesus, the one. The same thing could be said of Felix. When Paul was preaching, and he says, when I have a convenient season, I'll call. He never had a convenient season like that. Felix, the great divide you made with the citizens, and the thing that a man that in eternity to come will point you back to that great divide, and also the shade of power. Almost, he says, the call of the shade is even a Christian. He too made the one. I believe in this little chapel in the last 19 years, there have been seats in this auditorium where old words could have been written over the great divide some sinner made his or her choice. Maybe it's the seat you're sitting in this room. Someone made the wrong choice. Maybe in that seat someone made the right choice. What are you going to do? You've come to the edge of the pistol. You've got to make it. Sometimes a strong wind will decide on which side the water falls. And it's when a sinner comes to the point, I've got to do something. See then now or never, oh, a wind from hell, the God of this age, will unleash all he can to try and influence you the wrong way. They're the sweet influences of the gospel of the grace of God. The wooing of the Spirit, the bleeding of the Son of God. And we this morning doing our best to try and influence you to make the right. How long has been the truth you hate? When Elijah said that, the Lord did not then call it him, then and call it. The people answered not a word. Then he told them what they were going to do. You prophets of Baal, you get an ox. I'll get an ox. You build your altar, I'll build mine. You put your ox on your altar, and I'll put my ox on my altar. And the God that answered by fire, let him be caught. And the people said, it is well said. That's a good ark. That's fair. Elijah said, you prophets of Baal, you're in the majority, you go first. And so they built their altar, they put the wood on it, and they put the ox on it. Then they began their chanting. Then they began their praying. Oh, Baal, hear us! Baal, hear us! Baal, hear us! Baal, if only you're Jehovah, look at this vast multitude, they'll all be conquered. If you only hear it. They're haunting our Baal, the old kingdom to the city. Bring the fire down. This was a challenge to Baal, who was the sun god, supposed to have the elements of fire in his heart. Baal, hear him. Baal, hear him. Elijah stood there in righteous indignation. Why, says he, call him. Maybe your God sleeps. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's having a meal. Oh, what sarcastic mockery of these prophets of Baal, and he deserves every bit of acid that came from his lips. Keep on, keep on. 3 hours have passed enough to circle the altar and call upon their God. After further probing by Elijah, they took out their knives and the lamp. They began to cut their water. You saw a little of that Thursday night, Mrs. Robinson told us about the field of labor. How these gods, these people who worship these gods, these witch doctors, these leaders in spiritism, and all these fires going in their bodies, these things hanging down as spikes given in a board, he's been given a body and his flesh will make two good lips and two good jaws. They're doing it for their God. And these 450 plus today, here they are, their garments and their dress, the body stained with blood, their own blood, from Nazareth. Oh, we're earnest, can't you see we're earnest? Finally exhausted, they gave up. They said, all right, Elijah, you know. Elijah took 12 stones. There they had been a previous altar to God. The 12 stones, 12 tribes of Israel, he didn't recognize the split between the 10 and the 2. He put the 12 stones together, he put the wood on, and he put the ox on the wood, and he dug a trench around the altar. He filled the trench with water. Where did they get the water from after 3.5 years flood? I noticed in looking up beside the dictionary, there was a perennial well, not far from the spot. They got 12 barrels of water. First 4 barrels, pour it on. 4 more, pour on. 4 more, and pour them on. Why? It would be absolutely impossible to ignite that fire with all that water. In other words, Elijah is telling these people, this is no fraud. I haven't hidden a torch or something down in there to catch fire. Absolutely impossible. Here the trench full of water on the ox and the goat in the stone soaked the water. Absolutely impossible for anyone to light that ignite a blaze. Then Elijah, in this fire, godly, forgive me. Oh God, answer the fire. This is the challenge for every God down the centuries. God, answer the fire.
Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, did they ever call fire from heaven?
No. When the God just said that,
then the fire fell. Licked up the ox. The work of Christ licked up and consumed the wood, our sin. Also the stones ourselves, the basement of Israel, and the dust, death, and all the water, judgment. It was a complete job. And the fire fell. What does all this speak of? The perfect work of Christ that fell. When the fires of God consumed. When the people saw it, they halted no longer, they said, the Lord, Jehovah is our God. Jehovah, our God, O God, have mercy on us, that they fell on their faces. To think we should leave but the God of this, but the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and turn to an idol of stone, the idol of David. And they repented and they fell on their faces and had mercy on us. And God did. Then said Elijah, take the prophet of Baal, 450, which is given by Israel. And it says, he slew them dead. They fell before the sword of the man. Yes, that was the end of the prophets of Baal. That's not done today. We live in the day of grace. And the Old Testament face the false prophets of Baal. Sometimes you get so aggravated that the false preachers today would almost seem to do the same thing that we don't do. The golden lover of it. Although we just before their subtlety and their false behavior, their false speech and teaching and teaching. You hear God vindicating this way. Not only can the Lord, the Jew, are their God, but I am thy servant, and I've done as you told me. And then God consumed the sack. The people made their choice. The Lord is the God, only God, that is life and salvation. What are you going to do this morning? You're halting between two opinions. You've got a choice.
structured unity. Christ, all in it. Is it going to be Christ or the pleasure of this world? Is it going to be Christ or your compassion? Christ or your own love? The pleasure. Christ or the world and its presence, the devil and the earth. God is looking on. He sees you. And you've been halting for a long time. You've been brought to the edge time and time again this morning. This could be the last one. What is your decision? Is it yes? Or is it no? I will have faith, but I won't. How long? Well, Jesus, being with you. One tries to bring people to a decision by telling them of the wrath of God, telling them of justice of the Son, telling them of heaven and all its glory, reminding them of mother's prayers and father's prayers, or maybe the death of a loved one. Still they go on. Then, what about the sufferings of Christ? Will they stand up as men? The Lord Jesus hanging on that cross in agony and blood. His body beaten, battered, bruised, broken, and torn when he took your place and suffered in his stead. Can you look with dry eyes at the Son of God and turn and down? God will call your name. Are you the rest of Jesus? If Jesus is God, worship! If this is the salvation of the true God, accept it. If it's not, go your way. Yours will be the end of the prophets of faith, death, and justice. Yours the truth. This day I set before you the way of life. Way of death. Choose life. Bow in our hearts. Nail it. Oh, that someone in this meeting realize that over that seat is that rush to God. The great divine. I came in a sinner. Am I going out a child of God? Am I going out just a little hot? How long? How deep? The dreams of this. Save Christ. Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence, we ask thy blessing on thy word. We trust the precious souls your presence will weigh the issues at stake and make the decision before God, the right decision, the wise decision, the wonderful decision, Christ. Oh, prevent anyone from making the sad, tragic decision and say no. Lord, we pray that thy spirit will brood over souls in this meeting. Bring some to the decision of Christ. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.